This morning, I'm going to try to do something I've never done before. I want to preach a message to a person. He's not here. This message this morning goes out to Jorge Fran Gonzalez. He's a citizen of Honduras. And I send it to him and all of those who seek the forgiveness of their sins. It is my prayer that God would speak to their hearts and cause you to call upon the name of our Lord and ask for mercy. This morning, I would like to ask you if you would turn with me in the New Testament to Luke's Gospel and chapter 15. And we're going to read our text this morning. It starts in verse number 11. So in the New Testament, in the book of Luke, I ask you now to turn to chapter 15 and verse number 11. May God bless us this day. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me thy portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country and there wasted his substance in riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land. And he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into the field to feed swine. And when he would faint, having filled his belly with the husk of the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father. I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. And the father said to the servants, bring forth the best robe and put on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. Reading of the scripture this morning in Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through verses 24. The parable before us this day is a parable of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not like many of the parables of our Lord where there is one single message being taught. In this parable, there are many messages and truths for us to see. Every part of it tells us of God's tender mercy that is extended toward those whom he draws nigh unto him. In John chapter 6 and verse number 44, the word of God says, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent him draw him, and I will raise him up in the last day. There are five things now, five things that I want you to remember about this text and about the prodigal son. We see, first of all, today, a young man following his natural heart. Our Lord shows us a young son making haste to leave his father's house, going far away and wasting his substance. Isn't this like all sinners before God? Isn't this like today, ourselves, how we came into this world and immediately we began to ask for our portion and leave the very God who brought us into this life? A small child being born into this life, the first thing it'll do is cry. The first act of its little self is to cry. And from that moment on, they will seek to leave the God who brought them into this world. Like sheep, we are all naturally going astray and turned every way to our own. It is the nature of every person to defy the will and the supremacy of Almighty God. For every natural man, he has no direction other than to walk contrary to the will of Almighty God. This young man in this parable this morning is spiritually blind. He is a character of everyone that is not born of God. He is spiritually blind. His eyes of his understanding needs to be opened. In the book of Psalms, speaks of the mind of a natural man. In Psalm 72 and verse 5, we read, "They know not, neither will they understand. They walk in darkness." This is a picture of you this morning. We came into the world and we began immediately to walk contrary to the will of God. This is every man, not just you, but every man that's ever come into this world. This is where they're at, contrary to the will and the purpose of God. Now I said there were five things. Now the second one is this. We see, secondly, in this parable, the young man finds out that the ways of sin is hard with bitter experiences. Our Lord shows us the young son spending all of his property and reducing to want, obligated to make service, to serve another, and to feed swine within a field, so hungry that he now eats the very substance that the pigs would eat. The end of all sin comes here. Sin destroys everything about us in this life. We come into this world a beautiful child, and from that time on, we become less and less according to the will and the purpose of God. This young man in our parable this morning falls in great destitute. He came with money. I suppose he came with great substance. But he ends up with absolutely nothing. And the scripture says that no one gave anything to him. This is the natural state that we all fall into outside of the grace of the living God. We come into this world, we might prosper, but sooner or later, all of our substance will do us no good when we stand before God. We will stand naked before Him without any substance, without a name, without a country. But yet, with the grace of God, we can enter into the presence of God with His mercy. This young man has followed the same path that every one of us will experience. He spends all. In the book of Psalms speaks again of what this young man has experienced. Then we find in Isaiah 57, verse 21, there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. When a person comes and he is totally depraved, his life is a downward spiral and will continue to be a downward spiral in this life. The scripture says again, there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. Let this truth sink down into our hearts. It is the truth. However loudly man may be denying it. In Proverbs 13 in verse 5, the scripture says, the way of the transgressor is hard. And Paul says in Romans 6 and 21, he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. All of our life is a life of destruction. Every natural man is headed for destruction in this life. Paul says again in Galatians 6 and verse 8, what profiteth hath you in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? All of our life, we look back and we are truly ashamed. We are ashamed of what we've done and what we have accomplished. But the greater truth this morning is this. It is not what you've done, but it's who you are. That is the transgression against Almighty God. It's not whether you've stolen, you've robbed, or whatever you've done within your life. That is not the problem. Men perish not because of sins, but they perish because they're a sinner. The third thing that I would have you to remember about the prodigal son is this. That in this parable, the young man awakens to a sense of a natural state of resolving to repent. I will arise, he says, and go to the Father, and say unto him, Father, I have sinned. The thoughts of thousands are painted in these words. Thousands have reasoned in their way and are saying such things to themselves every day. And we must be thankful that we see such thoughts arise. Thinking this afternoon is not a change of heart, but it is the beginning of it. Conviction is not conversion, but it is one step ahead in the right direction. The ruin of many people's souls is simply this, that they fail to think at all. They never come to the place in their life where they're faced of who and what they are. They continue to walk throughout life without any knowledge or understanding of what has happened to them in their entire life. He will arise and go to his father and say unto him, Father, I have sinned. I would like to say maybe that this is the best intention I've ever heard come from any person. I will arise and I'll go to my Father and I'll confess to Him. That's a good intention. But you know, so many times the very best intentions fall by the wayside. It is in need that everyone go further than just a desire. Not to go further than just a plan, but to go on to the Father and confess your sins and ask forgiveness. The fourth thing I would have you to remember about this parable is that the man truly turning to God with true repentance. Our Lord shows us the young son quitting the far country where he was and was going back to his father's house, carrying into the practice the intention that he had formed. You see, he not only desired to go, but now he's actually going to the Father. It's more important what we do than what we always say. He goes to the Father. The scripture says again, He rose. He rose and went unto the Father. These words of true repentance and conversion, the man who has been touched by the grace of God will never be content with thinking and resolving. So many resolve to go to God sooner or later. But some reason or another, they fail to come and to come before God. But one who has truly been touched by the Spirit of God will never stop until he has come before the Father and asked for forgiveness. True repentance, we will find, will cause us to break off from sin. It will cease. We will cease to do evil. We will come out from the fellowship of those who are of sin. We will confess our iniquity. We will not attempt to excuse our sin. He will say with the publican of old, "Have mercy upon me. Have mercy upon me, a sinner." Let us be aware of any repentance which is not of the character. Action is the very life of repentance and salvation. Feeling and tears and remorse and wishes and resolves are all useless when it comes to the place of coming before the Lord. Coming before the Lord is coming and confessing oneself before Him. All the tears and all of the fears and the remorse and the wishes of man will not bring you to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. It might point you in the right direction, but without God pulling and drawing you into Himself, you will never come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. The fifth thing that I would have you to know today, the fifth thing is this, that the penitent man receives pardon freely and completely accepted of God. Our Lord shows us this in the part of the young son's history in the most touching manner we read. When he was yet a long way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and in earth and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son." But the father said unto the servants, and this is the real message now I have for you. He said, "Bring the best robe and put on him." What would you think the best robe would be? What would be the best robe that the father would have? Don't you think it might be the robe that the Father wore Himself? He calls for what is the very best that the Father had to be brought and to be placed upon the Son. And in this analogy, it speaks of the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. You need the righteousness of Christ today. And in this parable, it speaks of the goodness and the mercy of God in doing so. He calls for that robe. This robe is going to cover all of your blemishes. It's going to cover all of your sin. I thought this morning about a big marker that I have, about size of a quarter or better. And it has a big end on it. And it'll make a huge mark across paper. And once you take that marker and rub it over a word, you can no longer see that word on paper. When we receive the grace of God and receive the righteousness of Jesus Christ, which is symbolically set forth as the robe, all of our sins are blotted out before God. Those sins will never be said of will never be spoken of, will never be remembered of, because of the mercy and the grace of Almighty God. And then he calls for the servants to put a ring upon his finger. And they bring a ring, and they put the ring upon the boy's hand. This ring represents the possession of the Father. It represents ownership. It represents the family name. As long as he carries the ring, everyone knows that he is an heir of the Father. This morning, a ring represents something wonderful. You might think this morning, and I think of young people, how that a young person, the most important time of his life, is when he goes down and takes his driving test and gets a driver's license. It's the most important day of a young boy's life. That driver's license gives you identity. It's your ID. It's something precious to you. This ring that was placed upon this young man's hand gave him identity. We have several different kinds of identification in our country. We have a driver's license. We have a ID. And then we have a passport. All of those denote who we are. All of this ring speaks of in this parable is identity. You are identified to the family of God, to the Lord Jesus Christ, as being the one that has cared for you and loved you and will speak for you when you stand before God. And then the Father calls for shoes to be placed upon his feet. These shoes represent something precious too. No servant wore shoes. This boy has shoes placed on his feet. This represented that he was of the family of the Father. He was a member of the family. The most important thing in life is to have a family relationship where that family cares for one another. The relationship that a child of God has with God is this, that you are among the family of God continually. You are of God, and God is of you. And everyone that knows the Lord is your brother or your sister, and we all work together for the common good of one another. It's the truth that is taught within the Word of God. Those are those things, but there is one more. There is one more thing that the Father calls for. He calls for the servants to bring forth the fatted calf and to kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. And the scripture says, they began to be merry. When one child of God comes home to the Father, there is great rejoicing in heaven. Every child that comes back to the Father is received with great fanfare, we might say. You're greeted with great joy because God has found his person and he's brought him back safely into the fold. They show us in great broad letters these things of the great love that Jesus has toward sinners. They teach us the willingness of God to receive those who come unto him. How complete and full is the pardon which we receive from the hand of Almighty God. Acts 13 in verse 39 says, by him all that believe are justified from all things. Psalm 76 in verse 5 says, he is plenteous in mercy. Let this boundless mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ be engraved deeply upon our memory and sink deep into our minds. Let us never forget today that he is the one that receiveth sinners. With him and his mercy, sinners ought to begin and desire the salvation of Almighty God. On Him and His mercy, saints live. And when they have been taught to repent and believe, they do. Paul said in Galatians 2 and verse number 20, "The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me." I now will end this message today. I commend you. I commend you today to the Lord Jesus Christ. I ask not that you confess to me, but confess to God. When the woman that was taken into adultery, and the very act of adultery, was brought to our Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord asked the woman, "Where art thou accusers?" And the woman turned to our Lord and said, "None, Lord." And then the Lord responded back to her, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." This day, this hour, the Lord Jesus Christ is the receiver of sinners. And if we come to Him in faith and confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. May God bless you, and that He might speak peace to your hearts today. Amen.